Who's excited to be here this morning? Yes. It's so amazing to be here. Just the words of that the second last song we sang was that we sang about hope that was lost. The hope that was lost now stands renewed. And I'm in this season that we're in, that's so special to me. I think we find ourselves as a country in this part of our history, and with all the things going on, the prophetic sermons that friend Lucille is preaching, I would just encourage you to get last few weeks' sermons if you haven't heard it. Just listen to that. And I just want to also contribute my little part this morning. Before we get there, we can just pray together. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, God, for meeting like this, God, coming together, brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, wanting to see and meet with you, coming, Lord, to share what you have given to us, God, just by being here. This morning, Lord, we just want to open up ourselves to receive in the Spirit from each other, from you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your promises for us are sure. They are yes and amen, God. Thank you that your thoughts toward us are good, Lord. It's for a hope and a future, Lord. You've got no plans, God, to harm us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can speak to those promises, God, that we've heard before. Lord, promises that might lie dormant in our hearts, in our spirit this morning, God. And thank you that we can speak over that, Lord, life, Lord. That we can say, Lord, the hope that was lost or might be lost, Lord, even in this nation, Lord. In families, Father God. We can speak life to that. We say the hope that was lost, Lord, now stands renewed, God. Thank you that you are visiting us this morning, God. Just renewing us, reminding us of the promises, God, of your steadfastness, of your love and your commitment towards us, Lord. We bless you, Lord, and I pray this morning that we will truly have a revelation of that, God, that we will grow in that revelation, Lord, each of us, God, that so that we can go out here, God, and share that which you've so richly blessed us with, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. A little bit later on in the service, I'm just going to call on a few volunteers. I would just like to know, is there anybody in the house here this morning that's that got engaged in the last little while? Please don't be shy. There must be somebody. Do you see somebody? Okay, no one here. We've got to pray. Okay, then we'll have to revert to something who's just got married in the last few weeks or months. Okay, but we need your partners as well. Okay, so that's a good thing. So I'm going to call on you a little bit later. And then we need somebody to represent God the Father. Somebody to represent Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit. So I'll call on you a little bit later on. Let's just go to Scripture first. And just during this last week, after I heard Lucille's sermon, it was just this, the scripture just kept on coming up in my spirit. I was so encouraged by this and what it means that I just had to share it with you guys. In John 14 from verse 1 it reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amazing promise. Just before Jesus would have been taken captive and the whole scene, and now he's just sharing his heart with his disciples, but he's obviously also sharing his heart with us. Listen, you guys, I've come down, I've started this work, I've actually intervened in your life, I've saved you out of darkness, I've imparted all my life to you, but this thing isn't complete yet. I've got to go away. But no, if I go away, I am coming back. And when I come back, I take you to where I'm at the moment. But in the meantime, I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm going to send you, ask my Father to send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Parakletos, and he's going to be with you, and he's going to reveal all truth to you and equip you and protect you until the day that I'll be back to fetch you. Who's excited about that? Amen? That's where we find ourselves at this stage, that in-between period. We are waiting like a bride, waiting for a husband to return, to come and take her away. And in this time, God is perfecting us. He's revealing to us his truth. The Holy Spirit's work is to remind us of the promises of God, the promises that he made, all the revelation he shared with us. The Holy Spirit would remind the disciples. If we read scripture, you would see in Acts and in all the epistles, you'll see that everything that Jesus shared was quoted over and over and over again. The disciples didn't have a Bible. Okay, is that news for anybody? They had everything that Jesus shared with them in their hearts. Okay, maybe they journaled a little bit. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit's job was to come back and to actually remind them of those promises that Jesus shared with him. All his principles, all his judgments, the new covenant that he shared with him. The Holy Spirit had to reveal and remind them of. I don't know if you, but I've had those experiences. Especially in that time when you've heard the truth for the first time, the gospel, the good news, but you're still making up your mind whether this is what you want. And I would find myself in funny places with funny people doing strange things, and then the Holy Spirit would remind me of the word. He convicts us, but because of God's love for us. And we're in that place at that time where God is just coming to us as a church, as an individual, as a family, but also as a nation. And all he's saying to you, listen, I'm preparing something. I am going to take you where you need to go. You've got my promises. You've got the Holy Spirit. And he is faithful. He will lead you into all truth. Okay, in that piece of scripture, we just find a few pointers. Peace, okay, a specific place, a promise, then the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I give you my peace. Okay, Isaiah 9 says that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, he gives us our peace. It's not something that we have to look for or grow into, or He gives it to us. It's like a garment or a gift. It's like it's something tangible. He gives us His peace because He is peace. He gives it to us. Okay. If we can just look at peace and the definition of it. Peace comes from the word Irene. Okay. And in English, the word Irene, like the hostel we've got in Stellenbosch, it talks about a state of rest, a quietness and a calmness, an absence of strife. Peace speaks about the harmonious relationship between God and man, between human beings, between nations, and in families. God wants to establish that peace all over. It's not just for us believers in church. That peace is for all of God's creation. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 verses 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Specific scripture that relates to relationships in Colossians 3 verses 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we are living in reality. It's not like if we're out there in cuckoo land and everything is just perfect. In reality, God says, listen, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've left my peace with you. It's there. If you go and take it up and cover yourself with it. If you're in me, there's a place of peace. And the important thing is that world that wants to hand tribulation to you, just remember I've overcome that world. Just as a so peace. The opposite of peace, obviously, is fear. When there's no peace, and Webster describes peace like this. Fear like this. Fear is a painful emotion or a passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. Fear expresses less apprehension than dread, and dread less than terror and fright. Fear is accompanied with a desire to avoid or ward off the expected evil. Fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. Fear comes from the word phobos, that means flight. You are running. You are escaping. Also refers to that which leads you or causes you to flee. That causes flight. And that is fear, dread, terror. So where does fear come from? From Satan. What is his name? His name, the father of lies. In John 8:44, Jesus says, he's speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He is a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. We'll come back to it. When we look at examples of fear in the Bible, remember we read in Philippians that if we meditate on things that are noble, just, praiseworthy, if we meditate on the truth, then it says the peace of God will guard your heart. Okay? Now, this example is of Jacob and Esau. In Genesis 32, we read about them. We all know the story that Jacob's connived Esau, got his whole birthright, and he's running. Because he expects impending evil, danger. So he's formulating ideas in his head. And these things leads him to fear his brother Esau. So now he's met with God at Bethel. And it's been a few years later. And now his messengers, because they're always on the lookout. Jacob has got people all over looking out for when Esau and his tribe are going to attack him. Vengeance. Getting back his own. So now these messengers come back to Jacob and said, Jacob, we've got bad news. Esau is on his way and he's got 400 men. And they're armed to the teeth. You're in trouble. Then we read, then the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to our brother Esau and he also is coming to meet you and 400 men with him. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two companies. So now Jacob is a schemer, he's a wise man. He thinks, listen, these guys are going to attack me. So I'm going to divide everything I've got in two, and then we're going to split up. So if he attacks this group and kills everything and takes the plunder for him, then at least I've got something left. So he's making plans how to avoid this pending danger. And he said, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. Isn't this exactly where we find, or people find themselves, or nations, or whoever, when there's impending trouble, we cry out to God. And that's fine. And we see, like Jacob here, he doesn't actually know God that well, because he addresses God as, O God of my father, Isaac. It's not my God or Lord or at that stage. If you read further in Genesis 33, now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him 400 men. So now he goes further, and he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. And he put the maidservants and the children in front, Leah and the children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. So now he says, listen, I've got to protect my family here of this impending danger. I've got to plan and secure things here for myself. But remember, at this stage, he's fearful of this retribution that is coming his way. Now to me, if we read on and we're going to do just now, we would see that this was actually all a lie. And that Jacob was preparing him for something that was never going to be. And I think we can easily find ourselves in that place where we are driven by fear, which is lies at the end of the day. We would see that God has actually started, like Lucille preached on last week. God went before Jacob, and he started to work a work of reconciliation in the heart of Esau. And Esau was on his way to come and bless Jacob, and Jacob was at a place where he feared Esau and his life, and he is starting to prepare for the worst. If we read, we say, verse 3, then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times. Now we must just see it in our minds. Esau and his troops are advancing, and Jacob and his family from this. And what Jacob is doing, he's walking a few meters and then he's bowing down. And he's getting up and he walks and he bows down. Submission. He's saying, Esau, I know I did you wrong. I'm sorry, please spare our lives. He humbles himself. Verse 4. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Amazing. If we commit to that Philippian scripture, so when I read it again, you don't have to put it up. Finally, brethren, whatever things you are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. If we believe the promises of God, if we stick to what He's revealed to us, His peace will be with us. If we look at another example of fear, if we look at the disciples in John 20 from verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The disciples at this stage were confronted by reality, circumstance. Rome was the government suppressing everyone. The Jews were looking for those guys who called themselves Christians, followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, to get rid of them. So things weren't that rosy, looking good for these guys. So when they met behind closed doors because they feared reality, circumstance. In Jacob's case, he feared what he thought was going to be. These guys are faced with reality. Jesus walks through the door and says, "Guys, peace be with you." And when they see this is actually Jesus, they're like, "Okay, we're fine. We've got hope again." And just like that, I believe that we've got to trust that Jesus will reveal himself to his people, to this nation, to other nations in turmoil and distress. He's got to reveal himself in our families where things aren't in order, in our relationships. Because God wants to establish his peace there. And he's willing and ready to reveal himself to us, to bring that peace. If we meditate on these things, we will have peace. and not believe the lie. Okay, in John 14 verses 18, Jesus actually promised them, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Now this promise he gave to them before he left. So they had that promise, but they must have done something with it, forgotten it, or the reality of the circumstance was bigger than God's promise. So they met behind closed doors. They were fearful. Jesus walked in and said, peace with you. Didn't I tell you, don't be afraid? Didn't I tell you, listen, my peace I leave with you. You'll be fine. Circumstance might seem out of hand. It might seem too big a mountain hurdle to cross. But my peace I leave with you. That's how Jesus met them. The promise actually goes on, which he says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And that's the word of God to us this morning as well. I've started something. I've got to go. I'm leaving my Holy Spirit and I'm returning. And until then, I'm leaving you my peace. Live in it. Embrace it. Meditate on the things that are pure, that are holy, that are praiseworthy. That's the truth. Don't open up yourselves to start to believe the lie. If you're going to meditate on those things, they will lead to fear. And you will not have my peace. I think we're in pretty much the same situation. There's lies concerning our destiny. There's lies in our lives concerning the personal destiny that Christ has got for us. Lies about our families. Lies about the future of this country. There's opinions. There's ideologies that seem to challenge the promises of God. And we can choose which to believe and which to flow in, which to meditate on. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Romans 8:15. You did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which you cry out, Abba, Father. That's us. Amen? That's us. What fear does is fear challenges your identity. Lies come and challenge your identity, and that will lead to fear. Insecurity will lead to fear. It's an old trick that Satan has pulled out many times. Since the foundation of the earth, since creation, he came to Eve and lied. And that caused them to be naked, fearful, shameful before God. He came to challenge their identity with lies. He would challenge our sonship, our identity. Exactly the same with Jesus. Just like he challenged Eve and Adam, he challenged Jesus. He came with lies, wrapped up as the word of God, but lies. Oh, so you're the Son of God. If in that case, now where's the provision? Where's the protection? Why are you alone in this wilderness? Why does it seem to you that you're going through this thing alone? I don't see any angels around you. It doesn't seem like God is with you. Isn't it tough that what you're going through, what you have to face? It can't be. It can't be that this represents the Son of God. But listen, if you make a peace with that, I've got something that I can offer you. I've got a homeland somewhere where we can all go to. I've got a kingdom for you that you can have. These lies attacks our inheritance that God has got for us. Brings us to a place of fear where we will part with what God has got with us. In that piece of scripture we read in the beginning, we see that God says, I will leave you my spirit. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance. Okay. Have we received the Holy Spirit here? Can we see hands? He is not just there to bring us power, to bring us gifts and anointing. He was given also as the seal of the promise of God that he will come back and fetch us. The Holy Spirit needs to remind us, and that's his work, to remind us about the promises of God so that we can stand, so that we can in this time prepare ourselves, so that we can grow, so that we can come to the fullness of who we're supposed to be, that spotless bride. And that will become through the word of God, through the washing, through the preparation that we'll do. And the Holy Spirit is the seal of that promise of God. Amazing. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Spirit is there as a guarantee of God's inheritance, of who we are. The fact that we are sons and daughters of God with a destiny and an inheritance. That this nation has got a redemptive calling. God has got a plan for it. And His Holy Spirit is in us as that seal of promise. And He's going to let this plan, His plan, come to fruition. Jesus was here on this mountains before there was anything here. And He had a plan. And that plan He will execute. And in the meanwhile, Satan is like terrified of this. And he will come and he will set up circumstance and he will lie, whisper in our ears. He will make use of circumstance and blow it up so that we can lose focus. And focus on fear. Believe the lies and then get us derailed of the destiny that God has got for us. That guarantee that the word speaks about there is the word Arabon. I don't have my ring on, it's broken. I'm married. Okay. When you get married, when you get engaged, and that's why we're going to have that couple up here later on. When you propose, when you promise to marry someone, we give them a ring to represent that promise, to be the seal of that promise. That Arabon is, that's the word. The promise that God has given us that, listen, I've called you to be my own. You are my bride. But I'm going now to prepare a place for you. And I will be back. All my promises of protection, of provision, of happiness together, of our combined destiny, that will all come to pass. And now I'm leaving you my Holy Spirit to be your helper, to come and reveal the truth to you, to mature you. Back to that promise again in John 14. I just want to read it to us again. In my Father's house, sorry, from verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, that you may be also. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, He whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Okay, now I want you please to come up. I need somebody to represent Jesus Hercules. Thank you so much. Okay, and now I need a wise older male as God the Father. Please, I don't want to call out names. Please come and help us here. Gentlemen, please help us. Jan, would you be so kind? Okay, then we need the Holy Spirit. Corin, she here? Hey, please. Ah, there we go. Okay, you two, I want you guys over here. You can just stay put for now. Then we need the Holy Spirit over here. Okay, now back in biblical culture, this young man would, before they married, would decide that this is the woman that I love, that I want to give my life to. And he would actually come and propose to her. And when she would accept, they would exchange rings. And in those days, it would actually mean that they are married already. But he had still had to do a few things. In those days, his father, Johan, would live. He would live with his father, and he would tell her, "Listen, lovey, I'm just going to leave you for a while. I'm going to go to my father's house, because in those days you actually lived with your father. You just extended his house. You built yourself one or two rooms to the side of his house. So everything that we talked about that's dear to us, please know that that's what we're going to have. But I can't take you and take you nowhere. Like when my grandfather got married, he was the first generation of people that lived in Namibia. He had a horse and a chair when he got married. Now, this guy's better than that. He's made more provision, but he's unfortunately on a different location. So now he's got to leave her and go and prepare for her. Okay, so now you need to go and you need to go and stand there, live with your father. And he will now start to build. His father has made provision for him, many mansions. And he would just go and kit it out, finish it, get everything in order, organize the party. And this lady over here is expectant. Any day now, before the days of cell phones, any day now, he lives 70 miles away, he would be here on his horse any day. There's no messengers traveling back and forth. Nobody knows. He will come like a thief in the night. And she's ready with a lamp, filled with oil. She's actually wearing her wedding dress. She lives in expectation. And she knows that guy, he's trustworthy. He's not only busy preparing, but he's also interceding for me, praying day and night that God would bring me to the place where he, to the perfect fulfillment of what he's got for me as his bride. And she would have friends and they would bath her. And they would rub her with nice oil and perfume, expectant. That father has also made further provision around her. She doesn't know, but in the hills around this, around her home, there's a whole troop keeping watch over her. Nothing will touch her, come close to her, because he is looking out for the bride of his son, keeping watch. There's a peace for her. And what he does is the Father sends his Holy Spirit. And in this time, the Holy Spirit ministers and leads and brings the bride to perfection. This is God's heart for us. We are his bride. His son has gone to prepare a place for us. His Holy Spirit is with us to bring us to perfection. And if we put on Christ, we are covered with his peace. If we meditate on the things, not the front page of the report of his son, not that we are ignorant, not that we are like Volstreiser, ostriches that we want to keep our heads in the ground. No. But we don't meditate on these things. Those are not the promises that God have got for us. That's not reality. It's circumstance. It's out there. But the promise of God is yes and amen. And on that we stand. And that's what we're going to go. Thank you so much, you guys, for helping us with this. The circumstance, the reality that we live in is that we are faced with lies. We are faced with ideologies. We are faced with fears that is shouting out, wanting to press themselves on us, impress us, them on us. And we can believe, we can choose what to believe and what to stand in. Satan wants to get us to flee. He wants you to get on the Boeing and fly. That's what he wants. And I'm not, that's no condemnation for those who are going to Perth or wherever. But we must make a peace with what the calling of God is in our lives. Where he's caused us to be and to plant, to be planted. I believe people will, when this revelation, when this truth is shouted from the rooftops, people will actually get in the planes and fly back. They will. They are coming back. We must resist. And that's what we're doing this morning and doing in our lives. We resist these lies. We expose them. We proclaim the truth and we stand on it. People will not flee, they will return. We will not wait in anticipation for our demise. We will not. I believe just practically, this World Cup is going to be a huge blessing. It's going to be a huge success. It's like Jacob and Esau. Many people are waiting for the lang nach of the lang messe, or when Nelson Mandela is going to put his head down. But God has already started to do a work of reconciliation. And when we meet, we will fall on each other's, like what happened last week here. There will be reconciliation. God has got a future and a hope for this nation, for his church, and in your situation, for your family, for your relationships. There's his promises, and we can hold on to that. Jude 1:24, just a promise. Because it's not up to us. In our case, we've got a husband that is looking after this. It's not our job. We must be in a situation of preparing ourselves, being open for the word, being perfected. Jude 1:24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. He is the husband. He is looking out for us. He will present us faultless before his glory with exceeding joy. Okay, we can just ask the ushers to just hand out the communion stuff. And as they do, we're just going to listen to a song. And then we're going to pray together. Thank you. Hebrews 13 verses 20 and 21 reads, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in your heart that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. If I can ask you just to, in your groups, just pray for that peace that we said, that harmonious relationship between God and man, between man and man, between families, so that we can contend with that which contend for, that which Christ has bought for us with his blood, that promise that he has for us. Okay, when you're finished, we're just gonna end in prayer. Thank you. If you can just take a minute or two and just pray together where we are. Thank you so much.